We're going to start the Senate Rules Committee today. It is Wednesday, January 27th, about 1:37 p.m. I think we have a short agenda. We're going to establish a quorum right now. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Canella.
Here.
Canella here. Leyva. Mitchell.
Here.
Mitchell here. Runner.
Here.
Runner here. De Leon.
Here.
De Leon here.
Okay, we've established a quorum. We're going to go to file item number one with the bill referrals. Can I get a motion for the bill referrals? We have a motion made by Mr. Canella. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Canella.
Aye.
Canella, aye. Leyva. Mitchell.
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Runner.
Aye.
Runner, aye. De Leon.
Aye.
De Leon, aye.
Okay, measure passes in a 4-0 vote. However, we're going to leave the roll open so Ms. Leyva can add on. We're going to go to file item number two. We have before us Ms. Katrina Hagen. Ms. Katrina Hagen, who is Deputy Director, Department of Human Resources, HR. Welcome.
Thank you.
If you have any loved ones, friends, family, children that you'd like to yes. Welcome or present, introduce, please do so.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Madam Vice Chair, and members. Before I provide my opening remarks, I'd like to introduce my family. I have my son Kyle Radlick and Tyler Radlick and my husband Peter that have joined me here in support. They're pretty pleased about missing a couple hours of school today. And I also want to thank my husband for making them wear pants and a nice shirt. I really appreciate that. Also here today is Cal HR Director Richard Gillihan in the audience. My executive assistant.
We remember him. Yes, yeah.
My executive assistant Elaine Martin hiding in the back there. My colleague and chief counsel Joan Markoff will be joining us at some point. I don't think she's come in yet. And then Legislative Director Danny Brown and our Communications Director Jim Zamora. And a few of my colleagues from GovOps have also joined me today.
You brought a whole team with you. Ms. Hagen, I think you'll be okay.
You know, yes, thank you.
Fine. But you came prepared nonetheless. Well, welcome. Welcome to Kyle, to Tyler, and to Peter. And why don't you give us an introduction of yourself, and then we'll go to questions from the members of the Rules Committee.
Thanks.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure to be here today for your consideration of my appointment as the Deputy Director of Operations at the California Department of Human Resources. I'm honored the governor selected me for this role. I recognize the unique window of opportunity to use my civil service human resource skills and experience to make positive changes to the state workforce. I've been an HR practitioner for more than 20 years in state government, and I've served in leadership roles for the last 16 years. I've worked for small, medium, and large organizations and have spent my career striving to provide excellent customer service to hiring authorities, applicants, and employees within the state civil service system. As a result of this experience, I have a sense for what works and what doesn't work in the workforce, and in many ways, I feel I've been preparing for this role for most of my career. I'm thrilled to be leading many civil service improvement efforts and endeavoring to simplify the state's complex laws, rules, and processes. I look forward to work each day in large part because of the group of skilled and dedicated professionals that I have the pleasure to work with. We are working together as a team to provide creative, viable workforce solutions to the departments that we serve, while at the same time making fundamental changes and leveraging technology to improve hiring processes to attract applicants to the state of California. We are simplifying the classification system, focusing on improved supervisory and leadership training, educating departments on the importance of workforce planning, performance management, and much more. All of these important initiatives are being accomplished in collaboration with key stakeholders that include department and labor representatives, as well as the Civil Rights Coalition, educational partners, and state applicants. We have many challenges ahead and much work to do to prepare the state workforce for the coming years. As many state employees retire, there's significant knowledge and expertise leaving state government. I look forward to the challenge and hope to play an important role in improving the civil service infrastructure for the years ahead. I thank you for your consideration, and I'd be happy to address any questions you might have.
Thank you much, Ms. Hagan. We're going to jump right into it. We're going to start with someone who has a tremendous amount of HR experience, more than all of us put together. And we're going to start with Ms. Holly Mitchell.
Thank you, Mr. Pro Tem. Good afternoon. Two questions. First of all, dealing with the auditor's report of last spring that really talked about the lack of succession planning in state departments across the board. We talked to the director of Department of Healthcare Services just last Wednesday during her confirmation about where she was in the process. And so I know that you kind of wear two hats, your department, in terms of encouraging and perhaps providing training to other state departments to make sure they're doing it, but that you've got to do it within your own department as well. So kind of tell us where, how you think all of the state departments are doing, given, you know, the rapid retirement rate that we're experiencing with many state agencies, as well as your own.
Absolutely. Be happy to. We have issued a couple of responses to the CSA report since we were audited. And as I shared with some of the members, we've complied with all of the recommendations, with the exception we have one sort of open item that remains. And really the gist of the audit was the auditor felt, and we wholeheartedly agreed, that there was room for improvement in the tools and the resources that we provide to departments that want to create a workforce plan or succession plan. And so we set about, through the Civil Service Improvement Project, in really honing in and working on those tools and really developing some materials for departments that really it's essentially a plug-and-play type template that they can use to create either a workforce plan or succession plan or other workforce initiatives. The one outstanding issue that we're working on currently is putting a statewide workforce plan together, or sort of a synopsis of what the state as a whole needs to do or is in the process of doing for planning, you know, for the future. And because we still we don't have a whole lot of departments that have submitted their plans to us. Like, we have about 16 departments that have submitted their written plans. We've heard from a number of departments that are either in progress or updating a plan, and so we're very hopeful that our message is coming across about how important this is. But in the meantime, what we've been doing so that we can put that broader plan together for the state is we've been visiting with all of the directors and agency secretaries in the last month, and we've visited with approximately 50 departments and agencies, and we have about 30 that remain. And we're just spending some time with them, talking to them about their strategic plan and how a workforce plan can help them really plan for that bench and give some, you know, the analysis part of it is really the important piece, and really find out what are their workforce gaps, and then help them in a consultative role, put their plan together, and perhaps even work on programs to develop and implement with them. So that's the state of where we are with workforce planning as a whole for the state. As far as CalHR, we have completed our workforce plan. And it's a five-year plan. I had the experience previously at putting these plans in place in a couple of other departments that I worked on. So we just published the report and are rolling it out in our department. And one of the key initiatives is to develop a succession plan, a succession planning program for the leaders in the organization and on down into the organization.
Excellent. That's very helpful. Last question has to do with pay equity. It's an issue that we deal with here in our role as legislators. A number of bills have come up. You know, it's a current emerging issue in the private sector across the board. And so how, as CalHR, are you involved in salary schedules with state departments also? What role... And I don't know if in civil service, if it's as big an issue as it is in non-civil service positions. So kind of tell me what role you all play and if you do analyses and what you do around the global issue of pay equity.
Sure. The issue of pay equity is a little bit different in state government, perhaps, than it is in the private sector, in that, you know, when we hire an analyst to come work for the state, we don't differentiate. You know, we have a set salary schedule regardless if you're male or female. So we don't have that issue. But what we do suffer from, along with the rest of the state and the industry, is we find that a lot of our jobs are lacking the STEM. It results from the STEM classes, you know, that the students are graduating in higher proportion of men in the higher paying occupations. And the lower paying occupations tend to have a higher number of female candidates coming into them. And so we see that in a variety, you know, healthcare, public safety, you know, all of the scientific and engineering type classes. So we suffer from the same problem that the private sector does. In terms of how to tackle that problem, it goes back again to your prior question. I believe it begins with workforce planning. You know, until you do that in-depth analysis of your organizational workforce, and you really look at turnover and the demographics of your employees, you really don't know what your greatest challenges are until you've done that analysis. And I hear from a number of departments, you know, well, we don't have a workforce plan, but we have a plan. You know, it's not in writing maybe, but we know what we're doing. And I gently push back on that and say, you know, until you do the separation analysis, the turnover analysis, it's very hard to determine what your workforce gaps are. So that's what my recommendation and advice would be for departments, is to start there. And then let's look at where you're underrepresented in your workforce. And let's target recruit to address that problem. The other thing I'll mention is in the civil service improvement effort that's underway, one of our work streams is a recruitment work stream. And they're working on a statewide recruitment plan, and they will the guideline that will result from this will have some great recommendations on how to tackle via pipeline development, apprenticeship programs, specialized recruitment tactics throughout the state to try to attract those underrepresented populations to the state.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Mitchell. Mr. Cannella.
No questions.
Thank you very much. Madam Vice Chair.
Just a couple things, Katie. I think we talked in my office about the vacant positions. And right now, there's no written policies in place dealing with those vacant positions and the moving of people from one area to another to keep those vacant positions not vacant. I know we had a good conversation about those who are coming into the workforce may take 6 months because of all the regulations once they apply, and to lower that, because somebody coming out of college, they're looking for something and they find something else before they can actually get a job through the state of California. So we did talk about that, so you might mention a little bit about that.
Sure, yeah, and what we talked about was specifically, there, you know, depending on the classification, your process could be lengthier because of requirements in government code or otherwise. But much of the work that we're doing in civil service improvement is trying to eliminate the redundant processes and laws and rules that were created, I'm sure, for a purpose at one time, but we've sort of outgrown them. And so we've eliminated rules, laws that restrict hiring. The class consolidation effort that we also talked about is another example of a project where we're really trying to create a class system that's more nimble for employers and that's easier to understand for our applicants. You know, right now it's pretty difficult to to be able to tell folks that you meet coming fresh out of college, you know, where to even start to look for a job, or what classification would you look for, you know. And so a lot of our efforts are around putting the language into English that millennials will understand, and then changing our processes and working with our hiring authorities, of course, to try to increase efficiencies in the selection and the hiring process.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Ms. Leyva.
Thank you, Mr. Pro Tem. Good afternoon, Ms. Hagan. I enjoyed meeting with you and talking to you about this huge undertaking that you have as director of CalHR. Senator Mitchell and I are kind of on the same page, thinking about pay equity, but I'm also wondering about gender and ethnicity. Because we see candidly, a lot of people come through here, and most of them are Caucasian. In your management positions, do you have people that, you know, diversity, and do they represent what California actually looks like?
Yeah, thank you for your question. We do. As I mentioned earlier, I hate to sound like a broken record, but it all starts with workforce planning. And really trying to understand your workforce and where they come from. And also, I'm a big proponent of training managers and supervisors to really think about the way they're interviewing and interacting with potential applicants. One of the things that I worked with staff at CalHR to do earlier on this year was to look at the curriculum that we teach on best hiring practices and include a segment on interviewing unconscious bias. You know, a lot of us tend to be attracted to or hire people that look just like us. And they're not even aware of it, you know, sometimes. So just calling that out and focusing on that and training our managers and supervisors during basic supervision and in best hiring practices training, we hope to really make our managers and supervisors more conscious of that. And then, again, it's recruitment is a key. When you've identified those workforce gaps, then you can put a recruitment plan together customized to your department and your needs. You know, corrections needs are going to be very different with prisons all across the state, and a need to have a demographic that enables them to communicate effectively with the inmate population and their families versus, you know, someone that works in an administrative setting in Sacramento. You know, the needs are going to be very different, and so the recruitment approach is going to be very different. I was trying to find some data I had on the diversity of the workforce.
And that was going to be my follow-up question.
Yes.
Do you track the gender and
we
the
do.
Ethnicity? That's
yes,
great.
Yes, we just issued our annual census report. I think it was about a week ago.
And if you can't find it right now, you can always get us a copy of it. That'd be fine.
Absolutely. I can send you a copy of
That'd be great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Leyva. Any other questions or commentaries from the members? I'm seeing none. Those in support of today's nomination, that is Ms. Hagan for Deputy Director, Department of Human Resources. Come on up. Yes. Those in support, those who want to speak in support, seeing none. Those in opposition, any folks in opposition? None. Peter, you okay? There's Chuck. Yeah. Chuck. Yeah. Okay. Kyle and Tyler may take you out right now. Yeah. Okay. I'm seeing no opposition as well, so can I entertain a motion?
Yes.
We have a motion made by Madam Vice Chair. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Cannella.
Aye.
Cannella, aye. Leyva.
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mitchell.
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Runner.
Aye.
Runner, aye. DeLeon.
Aye.
DeLeon, aye.
Ms. Hagan, congratulations. You passed the
Thank
Senate
you.
Rules Committee and the 5-0 vote. Your measure will go to the Rules Committee. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations, Kyle and Tyler. So why don't we go back and lift the call and file item number one. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Leyva, for the reference of bills. Senator Leyva, aye. 5-0.
This passes at a 5-0 vote. We have file items number 3 through 7. Can I get a motion? We have a motion made by Ms. Mitchell. Files item number 3 through 7. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Cannella?
Aye.
Cannella, aye. Leyva?
Why don't, why don't we hold back for right now? We have one question right here. Yes, Madam Vice Chair.
I just wanted to know if there was a staff position involved with the Asian Pacific Islanders.
There is no staff position.
Okay.
Yeah. Efficiency is the best policy.
Thank you.
Right now. Okay, now let's go back. We have a motion made by Madam Mitchell, Ms. Mitchell. File items number 3 through 7. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Cannella?
Aye.
Cannella, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Runner?
Aye.
Runner, aye. DeLeon?
Aye.
DeLeon, aye.
Files item number 3 through 7 pass on a 5-0 vote. Colleagues, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.